The Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to pick up in verse 26 in our study. I'll not take time to go back over the context, the immediate context where we're at. But remember, the overall context begins back in chapter 13, continues through chapter 17. Jesus is preparing his disciples for their discipleship in the kingdom. He's preparing them as stewards or apostles. And we'll even see that brought out in our study this morning. In chapter 15, in verse 18 and following, he mentioned the world hating him, and it was also going to hate the apostles as well. But in our text where we're picking up, in John 15, in verse 26, he mentions the helper again. Of course, he had first mentioned the helper back in chapter 14, in verse 16. The helper under consideration is the Holy Spirit. Remember, that word helper can be translated in different ways: advocate, comforter, counselor. And so he is going to send them another helper. And of course, he brings that out on this occasion. They're going to receive power, inspiration of the Holy Spirit in order to help them and assist them in carrying out their apostleship. And so we pick up in John 15 and verse 26. John 15 and verse 26, and reading in the New King James Version. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." When the Helper comes, of course, he had referred to the Holy Spirit, this Helper, as a Spirit of truth. Again, in chapter 14, in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, he's referred to as the Spirit of truth because he reveals truth. He is the revealer of God's will to the mind of man. And of course, he would reveal God's will to the apostles. On this occasion, Jesus says to the apostles that this Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, would testify of him, that is, concerning him or about him. To testify simply means to bear witness. As a matter of fact, the word testify is translated "bear witness" in the very next verse. So we have an occasion where we have a word that needs to be defined for us, perhaps, and it is defined for us in the very next verse by the way it's translated. When one gets on the witness stand in a court of law, he testifies, and so he bears witness to that which he has seen, that which he has heard, that which he has knowledge of. And so the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness of Christ because he has knowledge of who Jesus really is. Of course, he is one of the Godhead. Another helper, back in chapter 14 and verse 16, another of the same kind, that is, he's deity. "So whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So not only is the Holy Spirit going to bear witness, the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness to the apostles, the Holy Spirit is also going to bear witness not only directly to the apostles in guiding them and leading them to all truth, as we'll see later on in chapter 16, verse 13, chapter 16, and in verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide or lead you into all truth," that is, he'll teach you all truth. So the Holy Spirit's not only going to teach the apostles all truth, not only is he going to testify concerning who Jesus really is to the apostles, but through the Spirit-inspired Word, the Holy Spirit would be doing that as well. So the Holy Spirit testifies. He testifies through the Word. He testified through his Word and directly to the apostles. Note in Acts chapter 1, if you will, the book of Acts, and in chapter 1, when just before Jesus ascends to the Father's right hand, Luke records the words of Jesus in Luke 1 and in verse 8, when Jesus said to his apostles, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, I'm bringing that in here because I hope you see that, again, this context here in the Gospel of John 13 through 17 is speaking and preparing them for their apostleship. For their apostleship, the Holy Spirit's going to witness concerning and about Christ to them, and they're also going to be witnesses. When are they going to be witnesses? When they exercise and carry out their apostleship. That's what Jesus is preparing them for. John 15 and verse 27 again, "And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." From the beginning of his ministry, as he chose them, they've been with him. They were able to see the miracles that he performed, which no man could perform but deity only. And when the Holy Spirit comes and guides them into all truth, they're reminded of all of these things. They're able to put all of this together, and they'll be able to bear witness to that which they have seen, that which they have heard, that which they have direct knowledge of because they've been with him. Chapter 16 and in verse 1, though the chapter division is made by man in the conversation that Jesus is having with his apostles, it still continues, and we'll see how it continues in this chapter. It continues with that phrase, "These things I have spoken to you." Now, we noted that last Lord's Day morning, "These things I have spoken to you." All the way back in chapter 14 and verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you." And then again in chapter 15 and verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you." So, here in the context, "these things I've spoken to you" refers back in the context immediately to what he had just said in regard to the hatred that the world was going to have for them because of him, and in regard to him sending the Holy Spirit. So "these things" is what's under consideration. Chapter 16 and verse 1, "These things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble." That you should not be made to stumble, that you should not be made to fall away. Because there's going to come a time when the world is going to hate them. And it's going to show that it hates them because of Jesus Christ. And of course, when one is hated and persecuted, an affliction comes upon them. It makes people to become weak in their faith and trust. And so he does not want them to become weak in their faith and trust in regard to him and who he is. And so he tells them these things. "So these things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble, that you should not be made to fall away." Verse 2, John 16, "They will put you out of the synagogue." So here we see it goes back in the context to those who hated them, mentioned back in John 15 and in verse 18 and following. "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So we see how all of this is connected together. John 16 and verse 1, "These things I've spoken to you." So verse 2 again, "They will put you out of the synagogue." That is, they're going to expel them from the synagogue. These are Jews, and that's where they worship, in the synagogue. So they're going to expel them from the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming. The time is coming. In our study of the book of Revelation, we looked at this word, the time or the hour. There's a time coming in their life when they're going to put them out of the synagogue. But there's a time coming in their life as well. It says, yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And so they think they are going to be doing God's service if they kill the apostles. Now, later on, we see that to be the case in the life of the apostles. The unbelieving Jews would kill the apostles and anyone else, and they thought they were doing service to God in doing that. That's exactly what Paul thought he was doing. He thought he was right with God. As a matter of fact, he lived in all good conscience in casting his vote and putting Christians to death. And so he thought he was doing the will of God. And so there would be a time coming. And when would that time come? Well, after the gospel was preached and the church came into existence and the apostles began to preach the truth regarding salvation to man in Christ Jesus and not in the works of the law of Moses. And so the Jews, of course, the unbelieving Jews who had rejected Jesus, would reject that doctrine as well, because they thought salvation would come through the nation of Israel and through the law of Moses that he had given them. But there was a time coming when they would kill you and think that one who would do that would offer service to God. Now, if you think about it, in the history of the world, there's been a lot of people killed in the name of religion. I don't know how familiar you are with Catholicism, but in regard to Catholicism, many people were put to death because they simply would not submit to Catholicism. And so in the name of many false religions, many people have been put to death in the name of religion. People think they're putting people to death in service to God. And so this would happen, of course, to the apostles. And Jesus is preparing them for this. They need to be ready for this. Verse 4, John 16. But these things I have told you. What things? Well, those things that he had just mentioned back in the previous context, the hatred that is going to be heaped upon them, and the coming of the Holy Spirit that's going to prepare them for their apostleship. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, there's that phrase again, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Now, how are they going to remember? Well, later on, Jesus is going to tell them that when the Holy Spirit is given to them, the Holy Spirit will remind them of these things. All of these things will be brought to their remembrance by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So again, we see the preparation of them for their apostleship. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. These things I did not speak to you about at the beginning. At the beginning of his ministry, he didn't tell them about these things. He says, because I was with you. Well, he was with them. Why couldn't he tell them? Because they weren't ready for these things yet. They wouldn't have understood these things at the beginning of his ministry, and they still do not understand them, but they'll understand them more in the near future after they've received inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, John 16, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But now I go away. Now, he's been mentioning this fact about him going away from the very beginning of chapter 13. He's going away. He's going back to the Father. This speaks of his ascension to the right hand of God and him being made king over a spiritual kingdom. So he's going away back to the Father, and no one asks, where are you going? Verse 6, John 16, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Now I want you to note how this goes back in the context. He's spoken about this sorrow, this grief, this sadness that they have because he's going away. Back in chapter 14 and verse 28. Chapter 14 and in verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, note this, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than. You would rejoice, but instead of them rejoicing, instead of them being filled with joy because he's going away, they're filled with sadness. They're filled with sorrow. What about chapter 15 and in verse 11? Chapter 15 and in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full, may be complete. So they're filled with sorrow, but he wants them to be filled with rejoicing. He wants them to be happy and joyous about what's going to take place. Remember in the other gospel accounts, they were arguing about what their position was going to be in the kingdom. Well, all they need to do is be patient and wait, and they'll find out their position in the kingdom. They're going to be his apostles. They're going to speak his word to mankind by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he wants them to be happy, filled with joy because he's going away, because that's going to bring the fulfillment of God's plan. to save man in Christ Jesus. So John 16 and verse 6 again. But because I have said these things to you, your sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, know this, I tell you the truth. That's the truth. That's the reality of the case. It is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage. It is to your profit that I go away. It is to your benefit that I go away. If he doesn't go away, and remember, the going away is ascending to the Father's right hand. The going away is the ascension to the throne of God, where he becomes king of a spiritual kingdom. They benefit by his going away. They profit by him going away. Of course, they're going to profit spiritually. Their sins will be forgiven, as well as the sins of all mankind, through the word which they're going to preach by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7 again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Know this, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. If he does not go away, the Helper will not come. Who is the Helper? Well, back in the context, it's the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Counselor, the Advocate, the Consoler. So he's going to send the Holy Spirit, but if he don't go away, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. So he's got to go away in order for the Holy Spirit to be sent. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. If I depart, now this word depart is a synonym for the phrase go away. Go away. Verse 5, but now I go away. So to depart is a synonym for that. So if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, if I go away, I will send him to you. But I want you to note something about this word depart here as well. Whether Jesus is using it as a synonym for go away, or whether he is using it in reference to his death or not, it's hard to determine. Because the word depart here could be a word used in reference to his death. Note with me in Luke 22. Luke 22 and in verse 22. Jesus said, and truly the Son of Man goes. There's our word. Translated depart in our text in John. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. He goes. He's going to depart. He's going to be put to death. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. So it could refer to his death. In this passage here in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, if I do not die. But if I die, I will send him to you. Die and then depart and go to my Father. I perhaps take it simply as just the basic synonym of go away, but it could refer to his death. Hard to determine. John 16 in verse 8. And when he has come, that is when the Holy Spirit has come, when the Helper has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will convict the world of sin. To convict means to prove or show one is guilty of sin. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world of sin. He's going to prove or demonstrate that the people of the world are guilty of sin. But when he comes, he's also going not only to convict the world, that is, the people of the world, that they're guilty of sin, but of righteousness. Righteousness is right doing. It's doing that which God requires according to his law, according to his commandments. When one follows the commandments and ordinances of God, he does that which is righteous. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict, prove, and show that the people of the world are guilty of sin, He's also going to prove or show what is necessary to make them righteous in the sight of God and of judgment. Of course, the judgment to come is the judgment or condemnation because of sin. He says of sin because they do not believe in me. So it is the sin of unbelief that he's going to convict the world of. The sin of unbelief. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, when would the ruler of this world be judged? Well, when he dies for our sins and ascends to the Father's right hand. That begins the judgment. Because man, through his death on the cross, is declared to be sinners. Christ died because we are sinners. And he ascends to his Father's right hand, and that shows that the judgment of the world has come. Turn back with me to John 12 and verse 31. He'd spoken about this before, John 12 and in verse 31. John 12 and verse 31. John 12, 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world is cast out. In the context, of course, the very next verse, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. That is, when he is crucified, his crucifixion condemns the world of sin. He ascends to his Father's right hand, and the judgment of the world begins because they're guilty of sin. John 16, and in verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot receive them now. You cannot understand them now. Why? Because they're difficult to understand. They're difficult to accept. Verse 13, John 16. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, again, the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter who's going to come. Referred to as the Spirit of truth because he is going to guide them, guide you, you apostles, into all, and if you have a pencil, you might want to note this, all the truth. It's the truth, the definite article before the word truth in the Greek text, not printed in our Bibles. But he's going to guide them into all truth. He's going to lead them into all truth. That is, the Holy Spirit is going to teach them all truth. The truth contained in the gospel message. So here I had mentioned that in regard to the Holy Spirit being referred to as the helper, and I had told you in times past that that word that's translated helper, translated counselor in some places by some versions, or comforter by other versions, advocate by other versions. It's hard to define the word in a translated word because it has such great meaning. It means so much. Here we see that it has reference to the Holy Spirit teaching them. As I said, the Holy Spirit is a teacher. Not only is he a teacher, he's a comforter, he's a counselor, he's an advocate. He pleads for our case, our cause. And he is a helper. He will help them in their time of need. So again, John 16 and verse 13, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own. And if you'll notice, the word authority is put in italics, it means it's been added by translators. Not in the Greek text. Sometimes words are added that do not help with the understanding of the text. But sometimes words are added in order to help. And this is one of those occasions that helps with the understanding of the text. For he will not speak on his own. On his own has reference to his own authority. That is, the Holy Spirit's just not going to come and speak on his own authority. He's not going to speak that which has not been given him. He's only going to speak that which has been given him to speak. The Holy Spirit is going to guide them, lead them, and teach them the truth because God's going to give the message that he is to speak. And we see in this overall context here, we see it how it is that God disseminated or gave his word to mankind. The word of God came from God himself through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, to the apostles. So here in John 16 and verse 13 again, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Note this, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever he hears, who's he going to hear it from? He's going to hear it from the Father. God gives the word to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives the word to the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. Remember, he is the one whom Jesus will send. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He'll tell them things to come, things that they're not aware of yet, things that are going to happen in the future. Verse 14, John 16. But he will glorify me. Here's the word glorify. It may be used in the sense of magnify or praise. He will glorify me, for he will, note this, take of what is mine and declare or pronounce it to you. Since he's going to declare it, since he's going to announce it, he's going to teach them. He's going to teach it to the apostles. Now, what's he going to take from Christ? No, verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine. He'll take the word of God from him. He'll take the word or the message which God has given him. God has given Christ the message for mankind through which they may be saved. The Holy Spirit is going to declare that same message. He's going to declare the word of God. John 16 and verse 16. A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Now here Jesus begins to speak in such a way as he's going to confuse their minds again a little bit, because he's speaking in figurative language. He says a little while, and we know what a little while is. Will not be long before he's put to death. And then after he's put to death and his resurrection occurs, he will spend only 40 days with his apostles, then he'll go to the Father, ascend to the Father's right hand. So he says, a little while and you will not see me. You'll not physically see me. Then he says, and again a little while and you will see me. Now, some take that to mean, well, he's going to be buried and they will not see him. But when he arises from the dead, they're going to see him literally again. But that's not what's under consideration in the context. We've seen this word see on other occasions and how it is used. Consider with me in John chapter 1 and in verse 51, I believe. John 1 and in verse 51. John 1 and in verse 51. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. They will see heaven open. Literally. No, they're going to perceive, comprehend, and understand. That's the way the word is used. We see it again in chapter 11 and verse 40. Chapter 11 and in verse 40. Jesus said to her, speaking to Martha, the resurrection of Lazarus, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? See the glory or majesty of God? Now, how was she going to see the glory of God? Well, he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But would she literally see the glory of God, the majesty of God? She would see it in that act, but she would perceive it. She would comprehend it as being the majesty of God. And we could note other occasions as well where this word see has reference to perceiving, comprehending, recognizing, acknowledging, realizing. So get this in the context here in John 16, in verse 16. A little while and you will not see me. You'll literally not see me. Now why are they not going to see him? Is it because he's buried? No, it's because he's not going to be here any longer. He is going away. Remember in the context? I'm going away. They're not going to see him literally. And again, a little while, and you will see me. Again, a little while, and you will see me. You will perceive, you'll comprehend, you'll understand who I am. Now, why are they going to be able to do that in the context? Because they're going to be given inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's how they're going to perceive, understand, and comprehend who He is. That's how they're going to see Him. They're not going to see Him physically. They're going to comprehend and understand who He is because the Holy Spirit has been given. Note, John 16 and verse 16 again. A little while and you will not see me. Again a little while and you will see me. Note this. Because I go to the Father. So, we see the word, the second see there, cannot be understood as literal because he said, because I go to the Father. They couldn't literally see him because he was going to the Father, but they could perceive, comprehend, and understand and recognize who he is when he goes to the Father because they're going to be given the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, they don't understand this because Jesus uses the word see and literally and figuratively here. And so, verse 17, then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Do you see they're confused? Just as man is confused today about what he meant. But Jesus is trying to get them to understand, yes, I'm going away to the Father. You'll not see me. You'll literally not see me. But you will see me. You'll perceive and understand and comprehend who I am because the Holy Spirit is going to be given to you. He's going to mention the Holy Spirit being given later on in this context. Notice in verse 22 and following, kind of jumping ahead, therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly about the Father. So he speaks to them in figurative language. He's telling them that there's a time coming when they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. They'll understand and comprehend all of this because the Holy Spirit's going to guide them into all the truth in regard to the matter. And so some of the disciples, and we're not told who these disciples were, in the context, what is this he says to us? So they don't understand it. Verse 18, John 16. They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now, here's an indication as well that Jesus' deity. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, now, how did Jesus know their desire? Because he's deity. He's God. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me?" Most assuredly, that's that word, amen, amen, in the Greek. It's truly, truly, verily, verily. I tell you a most certain truth. That's what it has reference to, verse 20. So most assuredly, I tell you a most certain truth. I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. Yes, they're going to weep and lament. They're going to be filled with sorrow. But the world, those who hate him, they're going to rejoice over the fact that he's going to be put to death. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Now, we suppose that their sorrow will be turned into joy at his resurrection. But when will their joy be made complete? When will their joy or cause of rejoicing be made full? When the Holy Spirit comes and guides them into all truth. Their joy will never be taken from them. Verse 21, John 16. We're out of time. Bad place to stop. He gives a couple of examples in regard to their joy. And the first one, of course, is a woman who is in labor. We'll pick up here at verse 20 and following next Lord's Day morning. Questions or comments? Thank you very much for your kind attention this morning.